and enjoying my own personal study of Daniel and what we've been able to share with you in the time frame that we have. And I got a little bit sidetracked this week in my own study of Daniel, and well, it's a main part of Daniel, something that we tend to overlook. And I'm going to get to Daniel here in a little bit. In fact, I'm just trying to think. I think I'm going to reverse. I've got 3 points, but I'm going to reverse them. So I think it'll be better that to present it that way. But I want you to, before we go to the book of Daniel, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I want you to see something tonight that I believe that we are in a desperate day. A lot of folks say, well, we need to straighten out the government. We need to straighten out this and the news media and the entertainment industry and all the things, end abortion and stop the drunkenness and the gambling and all the wickedness, the vileness and the nakedness and the trafficking and all the awful things that are going on in our world. But I think the one thing that we need more than anything is to be a people of prayer. And unless we're praying, nothing is going to change. In Matthew chapter 6, you're probably familiar with this chapter. Excuse me, I've been going through the entire chapter. I don't want to take the time to read it, but in the first half of the chapter, excuse me, Jesus gives us the lessons on prayer, and they don't end there, but what we call sometimes the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. Someone just asked, and I was already focusing on this, what's a good book to read on prayer? Well, there's a number of good books, and I can't think of one specifically that's an easy read, I guess, but there's a lot of good books I've read on prayer and certain things I like about each of them that have helped me. But I tell you, one thing that would help more than anything is to memorize and meditate on Matthew chapter 6. That would be one of the most needful things because nothing can help like the Word of God. But I want to pick up in verse number, excuse me, I'm going to try some of this, see if that helps. Whatever's been going around, the cough and things, I've had it for 2 months. I just have a light dose of it. So I've got the cold light, I guess, version of it. never really kicks in fully, but except at nighttime sometimes it'll kick in. But God's been gracious to keep me going. I don't want to tickle my throat right now. Help if I take off the choker, but at least loosen it up a little bit. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll let you stay seated because I want to read from verse number 19 to the end of the chapter and then just ask a question for us to think about today before we go to the book of Daniel. In verse number 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There's a good thought. Where's my treasure? That'll tell me where my heart is. For the light of the body is the eye. If there, therefore, thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Now, that's not talking about your physical eye, but your spiritual eye. If it's focused on one thing, and that one thing is Jesus Christ. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. A lot of folks trying to do that today. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your Father, your heavenly Father, feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet say I unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, or you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's speaking of course, in the Jewish eye, there's the Jew and the Gentile, the saved and the lost, we would think today. This is what the world seeks after. All those things. How are we going to take care of ourselves? How are we going to feed ourselves? How are we going to clothe ourselves? Where are we going to live? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but seek ye when? First the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. As I was studying the book of Daniel, and I'm going to look at briefly the three main characters in the book of Daniel. You probably can think of who they are, but I'm going to take them in reverse order as they're introduced to us throughout the book of Daniel and look at specifically something about their life and compare it to our lives today. And the question that I want to present to you today, and I spoke briefly at the men's prayer meeting yesterday with this question, is prayer an afterthought or a forethought? Is that something we do? You know, every one of us, if we're honest, we spend a whole lot more time in prayer when the world crashes, don't we? When our world falls apart. There's evidence there that if we want to admit it or not, prayer is more of an afterthought than it is a forethought. If we would learn to pray before, what a difference it would make. God's not going to withhold necessarily the trial. God's not going to prevent us from going through that tragedy, but he'll be with us in that tragedy. If prayer is done first, if we seek first the kingdom of God. I mentioned it was 50 years ago, now in 50 years and a month, since the Super Bowl keeps getting moved back every year. But it used to be in the middle of January when I first, Super Bowl 10, the first time I went to a Baptist church. One of the things that impressed me, well, a few things, folks seemed like they enjoyed being at church. I've never seen that before. It was a torture where I grew up. And then... Not only that, but they talked like they knew God. And boy, what a difference that is. And that folks would see that in our lives, that God is real. That he is not only real, he is the most important person in our life. And prayer is the most important thing we do in life. And oh, how my heart stirs and aches at God's people, and we and I as God's people would realize the significance and the value of seeking God first. Men gathering together to pray, coming together in a midweek prayer service, not just for the Bible time, but for the prayer service, and making it a time where we seek God and ache and long for God, and showing up for the service early so we can spend some time in prayer and beg and plead with God to move not in the hearts of others but in our hearts, in our lives. Is prayer an afterthought or forethought? I can think of some great tragedies that I've faced in my life and some events that immediately come to my mind. And the first thing is when I face that tragedy is calling out to God. Oh, God. And sometimes you can't even think of the words, Lord Jesus, what do I do here? And then the thought occurs to me, why wasn't I praying like that yesterday? Why wasn't I praying before? Because prayer is an afterthought instead of a forethought. Now, I want to look very quickly back in the book of Daniel at the three main characters. As I said, we're going to take them in reverse order of what I have them written down. And the first one we've been reading about this week in Daniel chapter number 5. And who is that? The king. Belshazzar, King Belshazzar. And I want to say this. This is number one on your outline, number three on mine. And as long as I remember that I started at three and go back, I might cover three all three times. I don't know. We'll try to keep them in the right order. But Belshazzar rejected prayer outright. A lot of folks just reject prayer. I was sharing in my Sunday school class today that family members that I share prayer requests with, and oh, how it breaks my heart. And some of them, you know, we will think happy thoughts. We will have a moment of silence. Sometimes political figures, well, let's have a moment of silence. Like, why didn't somebody pray? Some will say, well, let's, some even respond, well, I don't believe in prayer. What a sad world it is to not believe in prayer. Now, we live in a world today that doesn't believe in prayer. Belshazzar was that type of man that didn't believe in prayer, that rejected prayer. He sought God, but he sought him without repentance. He sought God through Daniel, but he really didn't want to face God in reality. Just look at a couple of things in Daniel chapter number 5 concerning Belshazzar. Of course, we read the story. We've been talking about it all week and looking at it. We preached about him this morning in Daniel chapter number 5. And when Belshazzar saw the handwriting on the wall, he eventually calls for Daniel in chapter 5 and verse number 13 and 14. Then as Daniel was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king, my father, and we discussed that, really his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. Belshazzar is saying, Daniel, I know there's something unusual about you. And I heard, and he heard, no doubt, the stories, most likely from his grandfather, and then again from his dad and from his family, how God worked in Nebuchadnezzar's life. But he thought, well, that's good for them, but not for me. And he sought Daniel, but he didn't seek God. He sought answers from Daniel, but he didn't seek God. And we look at Belshazzar's life. In fact, the judgment that was written on the wall, Nime, Nime, Tekel, Upharsin, or numbered, numbered, weighed and wanting. And we might say, well, he's gone too far. He's gone too far to pray. Has anyone ever gone too far to pray? No one's ever gone too far. As long as they have life and breath, they still can pray. As long as they have life and breath, if they don't know the Lord, they can still be saved, as far as I'm concerned. Now, God might know different, but God still gives them an opportunity. God doesn't condemn anybody to hell. We condemn ourselves to hell by rejecting Him. But has He gone too far to pray? No, never. No one's ever gone too far to pray and seek the Lord. But then as we read on, as Daniel continues to speak to Belshazzar in verse number 22, and thou his sons, he talks about Nebuchadnezzar, how God worked in Nebuchadnezzar's life when it seemed like Nebuchadnezzar had gone too far to pray too. And thou his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. You knew the story. You knew how God worked in your grandfather's heart, but you rejected that. because of your pride. In verse number 23, the first part of the verse, but has lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. You've not only rejected God, you spit in His face. You not only drunk booze to make yourself drunk in the stupor of alcohol, but you've taken the vessels of God and blasphemy and mockingly you drank your booze out of those bottles dedicated to the service of God. You laughed at God. And then He reminds them that it's this God in the last part of verse number 23. And oh, I love this statement. God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. This God that keeps you alive, this God that gives you the breath to breathe, to blaspheme His name, this God that gives you a body that can drink and consume that poison called alcohol, this God that gives you the very feet to stand on, the strength to walk, the strength to live, this God you've rejected. And he rejected him in prayer and all that was left because he refused to humble himself. In fact, it ends in verse number 29. Then commanded Belshazzar that they should clothe Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck. Still wanted to worship Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar had that problem too. Instead of worshiping God, he wanted to worship Daniel. And made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Well, a lot of good that did, because it's just a matter of minutes and he's going to be gone. The kingdom is going to be gone. All because Belshazzar rejected prayer. But let's move back to the next great character in this book. And this one has a much brighter ending. And that is Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar reacted in prayer. When trials came, when troubles came, when he lost his mind, when he lost his sanity, when he lost everything that he had, he's kind of like us. That's when we seek God in prayer, isn't it? When tragedy comes, oh, I remember, some of you aren't old enough. That makes me feel really old. Remember 9/11? People were calling prayer meeting. People in the community saying, let's have a special prayer meeting. Can we use your church to have a special prayer meeting? Folks are gathering to pray because something tragic has happened. But what happened after a couple of months? I remember when they started playing baseball again, because that was during baseball season. I turned on a baseball game on the radio. I still remember the team. I remember the preacher that they asked to pray at that game. And they opened the games, believe it or not, with prayer, with a Bible-believing preacher that even preached the gospel in his prayer. And folks were all fine with that. And because we'd faced a tragedy, because something terrible had happened. And reality is that's the way most of us as God's people treat prayer, just like Nebuchadnezzar. We're just like the heathen in that sense. God, everything's going good. We're fine. We don't need to pray. Everything's all right. We're good. You got any prayer requests? No, we're good. We're fine. I ask folks all the time, you got anything to pray about? No, we're good. I'm fine. Nothing to pray about here. Oh, God, have mercy on us. We're no different than Nebuchadnezzar. But he sought God. And back in Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel, the book of Daniel, not the book of Nebuchadnezzar, chapter number 4. Well, chapter number 4 is kind of the book of Nebuchadnezzar. Chapter number 4, let's look at one little section of this. And you know the story in chapter number 4 where Nebuchadnezzar loses his mind and he seeks God and humbles himself and calls unto God. And the end of that chapter, oh, I love the ending. The last, I was working on memorizing these verses, but that's too long to memorize. In fact, I could barely squeeze them on 2 3-by-5 cards. But I haven't memorized it. Verse number 34 to the end of chapter number 4. It says, and at the end of these days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, the end of these 7 years of insanity, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. 7 years. He's more stubborn than I was. I mentioned the first time I went to a Baptist church, it was more than 2 years later that I finally humbled myself and called upon God to save me. But it was after a tragedy that God used in my life to open my eyes to my need for salvation. And something that tore me apart, but I'm grateful for it today because it brought me to salvation. I think I can say with Nebuchadnezzar, at least partially, what he can say, I'm thankful for that 7 years of insanity because it brought me to my knees to seek God. And mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High God, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? A lot of fools try to say, God, what are you doing? Hey, that's not up for us to decide. God's God, and we are not. At the same time, my reason returned unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom. And excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth in His ways, judgment, and those that walk in pride, He is able to abase. You see, God will break our pride one way or another. And what we do when He breaks our pride will determine our eternal destiny. Will determine what He does with us. Nebuchadnezzar reacted in prayer, but at least he prayed. Now, he prayed earlier, but he prayed to Daniel. He prayed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and their God, and was worshiping them along with their God, and never really knew their God. But now he knows the God of heaven. Nebuchadnezzar had that attitude that you see sometimes on the billboards and bumper stickers. People use bumper stickers anymore. Or in the Christian trinket stores, or what they call Christian bookstores. When all else fails, then what? That was Nebuchadnezzar's motto. When all else fails, pray. No, God says seek first the kingdom of God instead of waiting till we fall on our face. When all else fails, try prayer. Or Nebuchadnezzar might have been one of the people that I hear say all the time, well, all I can do is pray. In other words, I can't fix this anymore. All I can do is pray. Now, that's the most important thing. There's your problem. You should have started with that. Instead of ended with that. And Nebuchadnezzar reacted in prayer. Belshazzar rejected prayer. But then we'll go back to the main character of the book of Daniel. And who do you suppose that is? Maybe Daniel. He did not reject prayer. He did not just react in prayer. But Daniel responded by prayer. Everything he did, he prayed. And no one was mistreated in this whole book like Daniel was mistreated. Yet the difference was he prayed. He sought God first. No one faced the trials that Daniel faced in this book. Nebuchadnezzar didn't face those trials. He faced his own trial, but not like Daniel did. He was the person who brought those trials, and the terrible things that happened to Daniel were the result of his decrees and his actions. And Belshazzar didn't face the trials that Daniel faced, yet Daniel faced everything in prayer. Remember what Daniel's name was? Belteshazzar was given to him. If you go back to Daniel chapter number 1, when we think of Daniel, you usually think of this at the start of Daniel in verse number 8 and 9. It talks about Daniel taken into captivity. Daniel taken from his family, everything he was knew, everything that was familiar was taken from him, stripped from him. His manhood was stripped from him. His home was stripped from him. He was taught the language and the learning of the Chaldeans, taught to worship their God. But then in Daniel chapter number 8, after going through all that training in verse number 8, Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel, in other words, he kept praying. He kept God first in his heart, that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, and I believe this is strictly because Daniel first prayed. They saw he was real. You know, sometimes folks say, well, I got this job and now I can't come to church on Sunday because I've got this job. You know, in reality is if you're seeking God first, He'll work it out that you don't have to miss church to go to work. But if you go to work and then decide after you get there, you know, I'd like to have Sundays off and then try it. But if you do it first, what a difference it makes. Because Daniel, in verse number 9, says Daniel, or God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. I dare say that that would not have happened if it wasn't for the fact that Daniel was a praying young man. Daniel sought God in prayer. And Daniel had a different spirit because he was a man that responded by prayer, responded to tragedy, responded to everything that happened in his life. And you see this all through the book of Daniel. I'll just point out a couple of things concerning Daniel, and we see how he always responded by prayer. If you go to chapter number 2, and you remember what happened in Daniel chapter number 2, when Nebuchadnezzar had this dream and called all the religious experts in, and no one could tell what his dream was. And finally, Daniel decided that I believe that there is a God in heaven that can answer the prayers that this king is making. And we need to, first of all, seek Him in prayer. And he got his four friends together, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Mishael, Azariah, and Hananiah, together, and they prayed. In verse number 17, it says, and Daniel went, before he approached the king, he went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. What'd they do? They had a prayer meeting. That they would desire the mercies of God, the God of heaven, concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. God is bigger than the gods of this world. Daniel prayed to that God first. And I believe if we're going to know the blessings of God in our church, in our ministry, in our lives, in our homes, it's going to be because we start with prayer. The most important part of the day is the early morning prayer. The most important part of any ministry is seeking God first in prayer. Learn the value of seeking God first. Before we approach the king, let's gather together and pray. And then let's see what God can do. And thank God that there is a God in heaven that answers prayers. And there is a God in heaven that Daniel boldly proclaimed before the king. Now keep in mind, Daniel approached the throne of the king. And the king says that, I don't like the way you look. Take his head off. And it wouldn't be beyond King Nebuchadnezzar to do such a thing. But because Daniel and his friends prayed, God gave him the ear of the king. And God changed the course of Daniel's life and the course of Nebuchadnezzar's life because Daniel prayed. Pray first. Rest in the wisdom and the provision and the providence of God. I believe Daniel could say that was his motto. And all the way through his life, you see Daniel was a man of prayer. To seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything we do ought to start with prayer. And I'll jump all the way to Daniel chapter number 6. Daniel chapter number 6, and we see Daniel now as an old man. He's at least in his 80s, maybe even approaching 90 years old. He's lived most of his life in captivity in Babylon, which just reminded me this afternoon, someone asked me a question Wednesday night, and I haven't looked it up yet. I forget who asked me that question. I think it was Don asked me that question. I got to look that up yet. I think I know the answer, but I got to double check before I give you a definite answer. That will remind you what that is Wednesday night. But in Daniel chapter number 6, the decree from a new king, Darius, had been made because the enemies of God wanted to find fault with Daniel. They don't like him being in charge. He's a man that prays. He's a man that talks with God. We don't like him. Let's see what we can do to him. So they made a decree that no one could talk to anyone except the king. No one could make any petition, any prayer, any request to anyone but the king. Now, keep in mind, the king was seen in folks' eyes back then as the God, just like our government is seen as the God of America today. No one was allowed to ask anybody except the king if they had any need. And Daniel heard the decree had been signed, and he did what he had always done. In chapter number 6 and verse number 8, that's not in chapter 6. I'm jumped ahead. I got ahead of myself. Chapter number 6, verse number 8. I'm still in 7. Back one more. Now the king established the decree and signed the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. That's kind of like Baptists. They have a law that cannot change our tradition. Nothing will change that. Nothing will alter it. Therefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt down his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Nothing's changed. It's the same. He sought God first in prayer, and he sought God last in prayer. Prayer was his life. Daniel always responded in prayer. As I've been trying to read through the book of Daniel at least once a week, I've come across the last couple of weeks, I kind of get stuck in chapter number 9, especially the first half or the first 3/4 of the chapter is Daniel praying. And Daniel's prayer, and there are a number of prayers in the book of Daniel where Daniel was praying. Daniel always responded by prayer. My question again is prayer an afterthought or forethought? Is it something we do first? Is it something we in our own lives do first? Or, when we need God really bad, then we'll get serious about prayer. When our country folds up and start going down the drain, maybe already started, when will it be that we get serious about prayer? When we get another attack? I have a feeling that I'm not quite old enough to remember Pearl Harbor. There were some serious prayer meetings at that time, just like there was in 9/11. And just like there was when we face any tragedy, you think of great tragedies as a country, the country rallied together and sought God in prayer after. But what about before? In our own lives, that's when we get serious about prayer, when tragedy comes. We're kind of like Nebuchadnezzar. That's just our human nature. When it gets real bad, when I realize I can't do it on my own anymore and I've fallen on my face, I really messed up. Sad thing is, I've seen a lot of folks, even preachers like Belshazzar, that said, I've gone so far, prayer can't even help in this situation. I've had 2 different times where in our own community that I've met men that used to be preachers. And they said, I've made a mess of my life that God can't even straighten out anymore. Actually, 3 of them, considering one that was the pastor of this church I've never met personally, and 2 others that were complete strangers that just stopped in, I can't go on. It's beyond prayer. God can't even change this. We as God's people can get to that place where Belshazzar, and we as God's people live pretty comfortably where Nebuchadnezzar is. Well, when all else fails, when I can't solve my problems anymore, then I'll seek God in prayer. But let's get to that place where Daniel was, where he responded first by prayer. That was his natural reaction to everything before he faced any trouble. I have a feeling that we're not told about his childhood. I have a feeling he grew up in that kind of environment. I have a feeling that that was a part of his childhood, that we seek God first in prayer in everything we do. Not wait till the tragedy, not wait till the heartache, not wait till the pressure gets too hot, not wait till we fall on our face, but first seek God in prayer. Is prayer an afterthought or a forethought? What is prayer to us? And I must say that, sadly, in my life, much of the time, prayer has been more like Nebuchadnezzar's, a reaction to tragedy instead of seeking God first. And if we're going to see revival, it's going to be when we learn to pray like Daniel did. And when the trial comes, we'll fly right through it, not because we're anything, but because our God is great. And we're walking with Him, and He will take us through the fiery furnace. He'll take us through the lion's den. He'll take us through the heartache and the burden of losing everything that's familiar to us, and we'll just keep going and serving God, because prayer is a forethought instead of an afterthought in His life. I'm going to ask you to stand here.